Rowan of the Buckshaw, Rowan of Rin number 5. Written by Emily Rodder and read by Rachel Blake.
Chapter 1. It is a curse. The village of Rin huddled, freezing, in a silent world of white. Deep snow blanketed the valley. The mountain brooded against the grey sky, like a vast ice sculpture capped with cloud. Never had there been a winter like this. Never had the snow fallen so thickly. Never had the cold been so bitter. And never had it lasted so long. By the calendar, it was spring, the time for planting, and for blossom, bees, and nesting birds. But still the air was deadly chill. Fields and gardens lay buried, and snow weighed down the bare branches of the trees in Strong John's orchard. A meeting was called, but it was too cold for the people to gather in the village square. They crowded instead in the House of Books, shivering and murmuring amid the smell of oil lamps, parchment and old paper. Deep shadows flickered on worried faces, gesturing hands. The lamps were turned low, for oil, like everything else, was in short supply. Rowan, who had been in the Buckshaw field when the meeting bell sounded, arrived last of all. For a time he stood outside the door, stamping the snow from his boots. Despite the cold, he was in no hurry to enter. He knew what old Lan, the village leader, was going to say to the people, and he had made his own decision on what he was going to do about it. For now, his mind was still with the Buckshaw. The great, gentle beasts he tended had strayed again during the night. They tried it every winter, but this year they had broken out of their field over and over again. This time, they had wandered past the silent mill, its huge wheels stuck fast in the ice of the stream, and moved on till they had almost reached the base of the mountain. It had taken hours to tempt them back to their field, hours, and the last few handfuls of oats from the storehouse. "There will be trouble when it is discovered those oats are gone," Rowan thought ruefully. "But what else could I do? Let the Buckshaw wander off to die?" He did not blame the beasts for breaking down their fence. They were hungry. The bales of hay on which they fed in winter were almost gone. And in a desperate attempt to make the food last, Rowan had been forced to cut their daily ration by half. Several of the oldest and frailest members of the herd had already weakened and died. But Rowan knew that if food was scarce in the valley, it did not exist at all outside it, except where sheer rocky cliffs showed as brutal gashes on the shimmering whiteness of the mountain. The land was snow-covered on every side, as far as the eye could see. "You must stop trying to stray, Star," Rowan had said to his favourite, the leader of the herd, when at last all the beasts were back in their field. "You must stay here, where I can care for you." Star had turned her great head to look at him and rumbled deep in her throat. Her small dark eyes were troubled. She wanted to please Rowan and obey him, but all her instincts were telling her that he was wrong.